April 13, 2021, it's the Walk from Pedro Show. from Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. Take five of Off Minor. Then Puny Human with Wake Up Williamsburg. Brother Maddie's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point because quit quarantine mode still, but I'm not totally man alone, people, because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got the Diamond Brothers aboard. Welcome.
Yeah, Josh, man.
Josh,
happy to be on board.
And Manhattan, right?
Queens.
Brooklyn.
Queens and Brooklyn.
Oh, shit. Yeah, people, they're calling from different locations. It's New York cities, but they're different boroughs.
Yeah. Yeah, we got them. I'm calling, Jason's calling from the borough of the Ramones and Kiss.
Okay, Queens.
Yeah, I'm in the
I think a lot of the New York Dolls, too.
But Kings County.
I think the singer man was from Staten Island.
For which?
New York Dolls.
Oh, yeah. Johansson.
Right, but I think the other cats, like Johnny Thunders, and he was a Queens guy, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they look like Queens too, so you know.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Does that help? Okay, let's get into your fucking. Now you're twins, but somebody's got to be a little bit older.
Yeah, yeah. Jason, I'm 18 minutes older.
18. Okay. Fraternal, identical.
Identical.
Yeah, like Nels and Alex Klein.
Yeah. And the Matsons.
And the Matsons, absolute. Now, yeah. And also, even though the triplets, the Petra and Rachel and Tanya.
Aiden. Yeah.
Now, Tanya's fraternal, but Petra and Rachel are identical.
Right, yeah. But they're the same day, though.
Right.
So they're twins.
They were.
They get it.
They were being
it
the
counts.
Equally big burdens on their mom. Partaking in the fucking boys.
Yeah.
Like when I see sometimes, you know, I hobble cracking down, I'll see these possums, and you know, their babies will cling on them until they fucking fall off, these motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Give her a break, man. Jesus Christ. It's time to scissors, big scissors. Anyway, okay. So, the old, was it Age Before Beauty? I mean, what the fuck? Who wants to go first?
I don't know. What do you want to spiel about?
Your fucking journey through music. And I know you guys both shared a lot of it together, but.
Yeah.
If you talk at the same time, it'll be a fucking mess.
Yeah. We were just paying us left and right. So.
Port
this is
starboard. How many letters
Port
and letters?
Yeah.
How many letters?
Stem and stern.
How many letters? And, well, it ain't going to. Help with that one, but how many letters in the word left?
What, four?
How many letters in the word port?
Four.
You'll never forget, will you?
There you go.
Okay. So who's going to be fucking port?
This is Josh. I'll go a little.
Josh, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, man.
Remember, it's a Watt from Pedro Show. There's no hard questions, and there's no wrong answers.
I think it's got to be when Jason and I were 4 years old-ish, we moved from, maybe four going on five, we moved from New Jersey, where we were born, down to sunny Florida, where our dad was living, came down to start the adventure ahead of us. So we all moved down, and we lived in a cul-de-sac, you know, in a circle in the street. And my mom said to us, like a 7-year-old kid living across the street, why don't you run over there and see what he's all about? So we ran over there, introduced ourselves, and he had an older brother who, this was 1975 or six, so people still listen to records. And we used to just go to his house and listen to his older brother's records, which was like, you know, Kiss, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. Like, I didn't know that's what we were listening to, but that's just what his older brother listened to, because that's what dudes in 76 listened to or whatever.
Well, no Iron Maiden in 76, but, you know, AC/DC and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Stones,
Deep Purple, whatnot. So it was always this, we were sort of born into this, like, rock and roll mentality, because that's what we heard as young kids.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's a special kind of rock and roll, because I graduated San Pedro High School in 1976, and what you're talking about, rock and roll flavor, was arena rock.
Yeah.
Okay. It ain't just rock and roll. It was this particular kind, and I can't blame you, because it was that cat's older brother. But that's your early, made an impression on you. That's your earliest musical recollection.
That's the first. Okay. I just remember.
Now in this pad in Florida, Jason, was there music?
What'd you say?
In this pad in Florida, not the friend's house with the record, but your pad, was there musical instruments?
Not initially. Our mom is a, later became a manager of jazz artists and producer of records. And at the time, she just was a massive jazz freak, jazz and R&B. So, like, we didn't have the Beatles and that stuff in the house when we grew up. It was all jazz and R&B.
No, what I asked you was not records. I'm talking about instruments.
Oh, earliest instrument. Sorry,
no, was there any instruments in the pad?
No. Yes. When
which one is it?
Yeah, no, there were instruments in the house in 1979 when we were eight, nine years old.
A little later.
We moved to Pensacola because our mom got remarried to a musician who was a drummer, trumpet player, piano player, and often did two of those things at once. And so we had a white, small mini baby grand in the house, and I had for some reason a drum kit in my room that I think their drummer, so that's where the jazz stuff comes in. Our mom was a formed a jazz trio because she's a singer with our stepdad, so then that's when all the instrumentation and instruments started coming around.
I mean, you wake up one morning, there's a drum set in your fucking bedroom.
I think it just at some point it showed up, and we were like, oh yeah. I was like, oh yeah, you can put it in my room. Like, I would hang on it and whatever.
That's bitching. I think that's fucking bitching.
Yeah.
Did you jump on it?
A little bit, but actually, I think our stepdad, we both started taking trumpet lessons from him. Because we were getting into I think it was just an easier thing to grasp in a certain sense. And also we would take piano lessons, but it turned out later, I found out later that our piano teacher was like a massive cokehead, and putting like two ADD, like 9 year olds and a dude on blow on a piano trying to teach piano lessons doesn't really mesh. So never really took to the piano, although I wish I did now.
Not a good experience, and definitely was the teacher's fault.
Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't be on the ship when he's trying to learn some guys.
Exactly.
Okay. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, not really. No. We moved around a lot and went to a bunch of different schools.
That's okay. I just asked that because some schools fucking got rid of the music programs. That's why Steve started his conservatory of music in Silver Lake. Okay, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think about that. Well, it wasn't money, but.
Oh, yeah.
When we were.
Well, you bartered for it?
Yeah, before we moved to Pensacola, my mom, when our parents got divorced, my mom got we had a boarder, like a friend of a friend who needed to rent a room, who moved into our place. He had a van. He was like, it was the 70s, so he had a van, and in his room he had stacks of Playboys. And so we would rip the – when he wasn't there, we would rip the pictures out and then have our friends in the neighborhood meet us under the van, and we would trade them pictures from Playboy for their records.
And what was your first one?
I think the first one I remember is the Kiss – it was either Kiss Alive. It was Kiss Alive. It was fuzzy because it's, you know,
that's okay.
Years. But it's like one of the Kiss Live records, either Alive 1 or Alive 2.
Well, speaking of live, what was the first gig you went and saw?
Oh. Live music was seeing our mom, nightly. You know, we'd go crash at the bar that she was singing at, and we'd fall asleep at the bar drinking Shirley Temples, you know. It was a piano lounge. It was like a jazz sure. Jazz kind of spot in Pensacola. But then I think
Pensacola, if I remember, Naval Air Station.
Yeah. Our dad was
USS Lexington.
Okay.
Our dad was in Vietnam, so we used to go to the PBX and all this stuff, get haircuts and shop and stuff on the base.
Yeah. Commissary, get your chow at the commissary, get the PX and get your Moricano. Yeah. Look, I want to play Twin Favor, Puny Human.
Yeah.
When the aliens at night come home, spies from their own melted network on April 15th, 1999, or maybe tomorrow, and they walk silently through my dream world, up, they've already checked out. Light struck on a bumpy road on the way to the outer limits. The clock is merrily flipping numbers. 11:27, 11:28, 11:29. Trying to drag me along minute after minute. 11:27, 11:28, 11:29. I can't keep up. I can't keep up. Go on ahead, I say. Go on ahead, I say. Catch up later, but I know I never will. I've had more abductions by aliens than relationships with men. I think. I don't remember. I think. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Pedro Show chunk of music started off with Puny Human doing Twin Favor. And brand new, Guided by Voices, Free Agents. Bombas Prendon after that, Whistling in the Dark from their archive. El Cloro from Italy. Oh, So Acrobatic, Human Pyramid. That's a title.
That's a great name. Yeah.
Well, it's a title. Yeah. El Cloro's the best. After that, some more stuff from Italy. Man, this one's got like 30 letters. Duasemi Colce es Sinvertidas. A little Latin, a little Italian. And the tune's called Dr. Musculo. Stuff from in the south, from Bari, huh? From lepers.
Nice.
IT, yeah. Exene Cervenka and Kamilski was something that was never released, but you're hearing it now in the Wild from Pedro Show, When Aliens Come. 90. Nice. It's like 25 years old or something. Kamilski, good cat from Czech, buddy I met through Brother Steve McKay. And then finally, Puny Human with The Real Johnny Charm. Okay. Next. Well, next. Now we're going to stop.
Can
there.
I make a comment? Can I make a comment about The Real Johnny Charm? Because I was looking up something today. That has a back half of the song sort of stanza from our good buddy Danko Jones.
I love it.
Guesting on it. And I looked today just to check, and we had you in that video that when we met for the first time 10 years ago, basically now.
Wow. Shows to go you.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I asked you to be on the Wild from Pedro Show on this day.
There you go.
Okay, Josh.
Kismet.
Okay, earliest music recollection. We switch places.
When my dad took us to see Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Florida.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wait,
a little,
he did?
A little more south.
Yeah. Was I there? Yeah.
I think he's more Miami Beach, but he's still Florida.
Eight or nine.
I remember Rick Springfield.
And then right after that, Rick Springfield, Working Class Dog tour, you know, Jesse's Girl era.
Also, he was on a soap in the daytime.
Yeah. I mean, that's like my dad wanted to go see these things. I was, you know, we were like nine. I was like, sure. Whatever, man, let's do it.
That's
you know?
The way I like it.
Yeah.
I think Chocho fucking wrecked that dude's life, right? He got into the shit. But he lived to tell. He like Ishmael.
Yeah.
So that's your early memory. So I don't have to ask you about your fucking first gig then. What about the first record you got? With your own money now. Or were you bartering the Playboy's
We were double teaming the
All right, so it was tag team. It was a tag team. Okay.
Yeah.
So I already know about the instruments in the pad and there was drum sets and trumpets and you guys end up not doing trumpet though.
No. Guitar.
So how did that happen?
As everyone drifts to guitar, it's like everyone wants to be a director. Everyone wants to be a drum guitar player, you know. Okay. So we had two guitars in the house. We had a classical nylon string one that my mom had because she used to play guitar, and a steel string. And we just were like, okay, I guess we'll start. You know, like Jason. We both had interest, and I was like, well, I'll take the classical one. My brother was like, I'll take the steel string one. And then just, you know, plunking away.
No teachers. You
know, no teachers. Just
man
just
alone. Just
friends.
Man.
Friends like what here. They call that, teach you crazy train, you know.
They call that the autodidact. Yeah, you're self-taught.
Yeah.
So you get records and you're trying to learn songs off records or do you start trying to write songs right away?
No, it was all just, you know, listening. Jason and I have good ears, you know, inherited from our mom's musical prowess. But once you kind of get the feel of where everything is on the fingerboard, you can kind of start to, I mean, you know, figure out where things land. And between that and friends just sort of showing you the few things that every friend shows you, Stairway to Heaven or, you know, Crazy Train, like I said before, or whatever, you start to figure out patterns of things and how things sound. And
Didn't really start trying to write any songs right away.
Yeah, I just asked that because you'd be surprised about how people, of course, me and D. Boone learned off records too. Everybody did in the older days. But in the more newer days, I've had cats on the show that are writing songs right out of the fucking box. It's bitching.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Awesome. After school, not after graduation, but in the afternoon, did you do the fucking garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
No. Being in Florida, we were skater kids. So it was like, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, mid 80s, just like out, you know, school ends, get on your skateboard and don't come back until the end, till it's nighttime and your parents are going to send the cops to find you.
You'd be surprised, though, how much connect skating had with having garage bands.
A 1,000,000%. I think just where we were in Florida.
That's why I have these interviews, because everybody's got individualistic journeys. So you guys were skating. You were playing, but like just the Diamond Brothers. You're not playing with other cats.
Noodling, learning tunes, just sort of getting it under the skin.
When do you meet a bass player and a drummer?
College.
College.
Okay.
We moved up to New York around 85. Finished up high school and went to college here, Hunter College on the Upper East Side, city school, and just start to meet people. Jason and I, when we first moved back to the city, started going to CBGB's every Sunday to see the hardcore matinees, no matter. Like, I didn't know who half the bands were, but, like, every Sunday, boom, just go, listen to bands, meet people, hang out. And then get to college and, you know, meet this guy. He's like, oh, I'm playing in a band with these dudes, and we actually need a guitar player. So they recruited Jason, who started, and then they record a demo, and I'm there hanging out, go to practices, and then the other guitar player leaves. And so, of course, they're like, oh, let's get your brother. So here we are now, first band.
What are these cats
18,
called?
18, 19.
Yeah, what are these guys called?
They're called Final Liquidation, which they took off the front of, like, a sign on 14th Street later.
Yeah, store.
You know, because, like, our demo was called Everything Must Go.
Just
go
blow
with
out
it.
Sale.
And our singer was a bike messenger. Our drummer, we were 19. Our drummer was like 30. The bass player was maybe 2 years older than us.
Tell me about the first gig.
First gig was, where was the first gig? I want to say CBGB's. It might be CBGB's because they had a lot of friends who were working there and stuff. And I think they got us on a bill. Which is kind of super fun that
how
was
it? Was it a success? Did they throw shit? I mean, what's that?
I think it was like, you know, people were like, oh, cool. You know, they clap, but you know, I don't think we were blowing doors off at that point. It was just like, you know, cool punk kind of fast, you know, mixture of a bunch of stuff. I think, you know, Josh and I tend to lean into the noodly prog stuff at times. So we, you know, as we were playing their songs first. We didn't write any songs with them. Yeah. And then we started pushing in our influences to start writing songs.
But not that first gig.
No, not the first gig. First gig was like us playing the songs they had already had written that we all sort of spiced up a little bit.
Some diamond spice.
Yeah, sometimes. Twin Fever, early Twin Fever.
I'm into that. We're at the end of the first hour, April 13, 2021, Dish Watt Peter Show. Special guest, Diamond Brothers. Hold tight for hour two. April 13, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Peter Show.
sunshine, lost inside your dark light, blacks out my sight. I cannot hide, Lord, I have tried, you give me no reprieve, no chance to fight.
Take a memo.
In your fire, I'm giving you the business.
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour. Puny Human doing the real Johnny Charm. I thought I just played that. I fucked up. We'll fix that somehow, people.
Ben so Stelter. Nice to play it twice.
Yeah, that's how good it is. Right, right. Because it's got fucking Brother Danko.
Yeah.
That's right. He's fucking kicking in the hatch from Toronto.
Yeah, and a bass solo.
Okay, Ben Stelter from Tasmania after that with Complex Devotional Object. Lucas Abella from Sydney after that. Z is for Zoster. I guess he just had a son.
Yeah.
All these fucking songs about the alphabet shit. El Saab after that. Italy. Bari. The End of Freedom of Speech. Murdered Man after that. Have the Mind. Have. Got some English major here. Not half, but have. Okay. Murdered by Death. It was Strange Eyes. Giving You the Business. Heloise and the Savoir Faire.
Yeah.
That's something that ain't, that's the only thing that ain't Puny Human. No, there's yeah. There's something called Gray we'll play later on.
But, yeah, we can get to that.
We'll get to that, you know. But let's get on. I want to still stay on the musical journey of the Diamond Brothers.
Yeah.
So they're helping out these guys. What's it called? Everything Must Go? No.
Final liquidation.
Right. Because this ain't Puny Human.
Right. So
what happens in between?
Well, and also Josh and I are both playing guitar at that point. And of course, inevitably, in an early band or in any band, somebody leaves. So the bass player left at a certain point. And so Josh was like, all right, I'll pick up the bass.
Oh, great.
And we'll do that. And then we got a bass player like 2 months later. And then Josh went back to guitar. And then eventually that bass player left. And Josh said, okay, it's your turn to get on the bass. And I got on the bass, and I've just been on the bass ever since.
Okay.
It spoke to me.
Was it the same bass?
No.
No, I borrowed a bass from a friend of ours who used to play bass in the Mentors.
Oh, wow. West Coast.
Zippy, yeah.
Zippy. Keith
McAdam.
Because
for a long time, it was Dr. Heathen Scum.
Yeah.
In fact, he kept the band going. He's kind of engineering shit. And
he was like a short-term member. He went on to be in Crawlpappy and King Flux and with Richie Stotts and a whole bunch of stuff. I played that, like, it was like a white metal-looking bass for a couple months. I gave it back, yeah.
But then I picked up from my buddy a white Rick 4003, 81.
What happens with the band? You keep doing gigs, right?
The bass player left, and Jason switches to bass. Then our drummer left.
The 30-year-old left. The old man.
And then we just keep.
The old man left. I thought the drummer was 30 years old.
Yeah, he ended up moving to Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shuffle up.
What's that called? I think it's called the New York Thruway.
Yeah.
Right?
As people drop out of the band, find other people and keep the band going.
Right, right. Well, who was who was the fucking main man? There must have been a cat there who was the skipper before you guys were there.
Yeah, that was Chief, the singer. He was
good name.
He split.
That's a good name.
Yeah, he was American Indian. That's what he wanted to be
called. Oh, okay.
His name's Billy. He lives up in Buffalo as well now. It's where he was from, Onondaga tribe.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and...
also Mohawks up there.
Yeah, so they all split. Everybody split and kind of it all of a sudden it's our band to do. Even though we're not playing those songs anymore, people left. We're starting to write our own. Or we had been writing our own songs at that point anyway. But now we're like, okay, we can get a drummer, we can get a singer, or whatever we're going to do. And like now it's our band. Everybody's gone. Not that we wanted them to go, but that's how it ends up.
Sure,
so now We're the skippers now.
Yeah, well, what do you when say? When it rains lemonade, you start making lemons. Exactly. Oh, no, when it starts raining lemons, you start making lemonade.
Yeah. And hang out in a cane sugar
fuck
field.
Fuck that up. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Is this when you renamed the band?
Yeah. This is when we changed to Gray.
Oh, so Gray is before Puny Human.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why the England spelling?
Just to be different.
Okay, unless you're in England.
We didn't realize. Or Canada. We didn't realize that Basquiat had a band called Gray in the 70s, I guess. Just sort of a later realization.
Man?
Yeah.
Wow. Did he spell it the same?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We didn't know that. It's just
Yeah. I mean, Greg Husker, after the Huskers, he had a band called Gray Matter, and I think he used that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know those guys. We played some games with them. Georgie tripped on the drum. He said he won't use cymbals. See, in a straight jacket, he won't use cymbals.
Yeah, that's like White Room. There's like four cymbals in the whole song, White Room.
But it's a hell of a stomp. Look, I want to play some more Puny Human here. Eating cigarettes.
wouldn't want a holiday in my head. You wouldn't want a holiday in my head. Pretending I'm a star of the big screen. Tied to a pole and dressed up as Napoleon. Not too tight, you're the fiend. You wouldn't want a holiday in my head. Well, I wouldn't want one in yours either. I couldn't suffer the smell of your breath, let alone to taste your saliva.
Wild for Pedro show. Yeah, that chunk of music started with Puny Human doing eating cigarettes. People, the goddess of metal, Redux, was, that's what we started the second hour with. I've found my error, well, one of the errors of my many ways. Trigger cut after that from Germany with Hellcat Bomb. Troopa Troopa from Poland after that with Haley's on me, but all in one word. Maybe not a Polish word. Flies on You, Josephine. Botanist, Wisteria. Botanist, this cat plays electric auto harp, you know, with the fud, with the doom.
Oh, wow.
Death metal, Cookie Monster. Yeah. Great cat up in the city. It's Roberto backwards. How do you say that? Oberto.
Oh. Yeah, I can't.
He's great. He was on the show a couple months ago. I love this cat. He's got some new music coming. And then finally, Devil's Riff. Yeah, everybody knows that one, right? It's the ubiquitous title song to Black Sabbath's first album. Puny Human. And I was talking, who were you talking yesterday about the flatted fifth? It don't always have to be that fucking tritone.
Yeah.
It can also be a blues thing. And that's what he was talking. Oh, I was doing an interview with the freak bass guy out of Cincinnati, and we were talking about what would Bernie Worrell turn him on to.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a big part of the Funhouse riff by Stooges.
Right.
So, yeah. Look, music is free, man, to be interpreted and you know, manhandled, whatever the fuck, you know, to make it connects between us humans. So, the name Gray don't last?
No. Well, we do. We had, what, three singers over time? Because what ended up happening is Josh and I started writing more and more complicated music, and singers found it hard to sing over. in retrospect, you know. So, it happens when you don't have a singer for a while and you want to keep writing music, you fill the holes with music.
Right.
We contemplated for a little bit just becoming an instrumental band like Don Caballero or something.
Gone.
Or Lightning Bolt and just doing the thing, but gravitated back towards the...
I think the Lightning Bolt, some the dude hollers and shit through the sock.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
yeah.
Sometimes, not always.
Yeah. But yeah, so then we didn't have a band for a while. We were just hanging around. We were doing a bunch of work and then decided to just start a band for fun. Like, not trying to get demos out, not trying to make records, not trying to, like, get a record deal and all that kind of stuff, which we never got, really, anyway. And took the pressure off. And also, we got really hung up on writing in the Gray stuff, writing songs that didn't sound like anybody. So if we wrote a riff that was even remotely close, and Josh and I are sort of autodidactically encyclopedic. So even if I don't know a song, I recognize the riff, or he does, and we'll be like, no, like, can't play that. It sounds too much like this other song or whatever. So, which of course is, we ended up with like over a year and a half, like six songs that sure sound kind of cool, but that's not really a band.
Look, I gotta hold you up here because we're at the end of the second hour, April 12th. No, it ain't. April 13, 2021. Dish Pedro Show special guest, Diamond Brothers. Hold tight for hour three. April 13, 2021. It's the third hour of the Pedro Show.
and they never die. They just keep on pumping how they multiply. Crazy horses will they never halt, and they keep on moving. We'll be right back.
Joe Johnson on that one too, playing tuba in a bunch of different ranges, or saxophone in a bunch of different ranges for the horn section.
So people, you're hearing what's on this song, Crazy Horses by Puny Human. It's a cover of Osmond Brothers, but they made it their own. The singer man decided this is a, well, he put it out there, and then the Diamond Brothers said, "Fuck yeah." Got their Moz connects to get some fucking badass brass and reed on there. Some bass clef. January's after that with Projector Blue, The Beggar's Best, The Station, Tommy Dahill out of Alaska with Isla Vista one. Isla Vista. That's where University of Santa Barbara is. Cali. Mouthpiece out of Dublin with Introduce Me to Ray. And finally, Puny Human with Champagne Minivan. So, now I met you guys being in some video. You guys ended up doing video work. How'd that happen?
So, Jason and I, when we weren't playing in bands, started a production company, and we'd been directing commercials and music videos and short films and whatnot, all this kind of jazz. And just through music, which is how we're all connected, we were turned on to Danko Jones from our friend Jonah Jenkins up in Boston, who was in a band called Only Living Witness and Milligram and Raw Radar War with some other friends of ours, and just got totally, you know, they blew our minds when we heard them. And
that was when their 7-inches came out, like the early days.
On Sonic Onion. Anyway, through the magic of friendships, we got to be friendly with them, and we would just see them when they came to town and, you know, chat over the interwebs and whatnot. And they had said they had a new record coming out, and Jason and I had been hawking them for a while to, you know, work together. And they just said, "We have this thing. We're not really into the thing that we have planned for it. So if you guys can be in LA in like 10 days or so, let's make it." So we came out to LA and just spitballed an idea. And they said, "Hey, you know, we are good friends with Mike Watt and we'd love to have him in the video." And we, of course, said, I mean, yeah, 100,000,000%. Obviously, not to blow up your ego, but Jason and I were big Minutemen fans and Firehose and whatnot. So it was totally right up our alley. So I remember Danko gave me your phone number and I called you and you were like, "Oh, I hear this. What?" And I was like, "Oh, hey, Mike, it's Josh. I'm friends with Danko." And you're like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to come down and do the thing." And you asked me, "What should I wear to the video shoot?" And I said, "Well, if you don't show up in flannel, I'm going to be disappointed." And you were like, "Copy that." And on set we were.
Now, what are they different worlds, the video world and music world?
I don't think so. I think music is more immediate, right? Like you could pick up we could all get together and like play, grab instruments and make a song and play something, create something like on the spot in minutes. Film, even though you could pick up a camera and go make a documentary or even some sort of, you know, film content, it still takes time to do something with it in the back end. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's from a creative standpoint, but from a interpersonal connection standpoint, it's the same. It's like you meet people you jive with that you want to like get creative with, and you go and make it happen, which is,
it's a form of artistic expression that both things share that. Yeah. I want to get that clear out to everybody. There's all kinds of ways to express yourself artistically. Pictures is one way. Sounds are another way. Combining is another. I mean, there's buttloads, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it really, it's almost like the what we have to deal with in music, maybe in film and video too, genre. You know, these artificial barriers that we got to get rid of. You know, these other things. People making hay over. I don't know if I think it's more of these little subtle ones because it starts guiding our behavior, this genre I can't play with you because you're doing country western. I can't, you're
that.
Shooting black and white, and you're shooting video. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, Josh and I do the same thing. Like, we write songs that we want to hear, and we make content when we're not getting paid from someone else to make their content. We're making content that we want to see that we like. So, you know, we have conversations with people all the time as directors. Oh, what's your genre? Like, do you make horror movies? Do you make sci-fi? We say we just make movies that are cool, like that we like. Could be 8 million different types of genres. Absolutely. And same with music. Like, absolutely. We tend to play sort of heavier rock, but like, doesn't mean that I wouldn't also jam with, you know, this person, that person, you know, because the connection's a connection. It doesn't matter. We just want to like do fun shit and have a good time.
Absolutely. Let the freak flag fly. Here, yeah. You gave me one tune from the Gray Days. Let's listen. We'll be right back. Watch for Pedro Show, final music for this edition. Gray with Back to the Beginning, and it was something more in the beginning, but I'm playing it at the end of the show, sorry. Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with Bells from Naina, Dalem and Nick Francis and Tollum with Three. That's a Roman numeral, people. And Bible, B-I-B-L-E, which by Puny Human, which there's a Super Session song that Raymond Pettibone wrote words, same thing with the, you know, acronym. His Bible stood for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Yep, so does ours.
Wow! Okay.
Good thing.
How could that fucking be? How could be that coincidence fucking out? And you, there's information about the Eloise and the Savoir Faire, yeah.
Yeah, the Eloise and the Savoir Faire was a band that was in New York kicking around, and they needed a bass player, and a friend had made an introduction. We went and saw them. We sort of got to be fans of their band. They were fans of Puny Human. And then I was like, hey, I really want to play bass in your band, because it's a completely different, talking about genres that we were talking about before. They're like a Blondie meets Devo kind of dance fun thing. And I'd never played bass in a band like that. And I love like Larry Graham and all those kind of cats, you know,
sure.
And I wanted to try out those lines and like be in that world. So I was in the band for a couple of years. We made a record, did some tours. And the song that you played was like our kind of slight nod to Betty Davis, with that funk kind of thing. So it was a super fun gig, and we love those
yeah.
guys and gals.
And what about Puny Human? Are they still around?
Sadly, our singer passed away in 2012, and sort of since then we just didn't really. I think that chapter has closed. It doesn't feel right to do it without him.
Well, what about music for the Diamond Brothers?
We got really absorbed in the business shit. I mean, we still play. My son's 14. He's a drummer. You know, we jam out.
I'm teaching my 12-year-old girl bass.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, you know, we still play our instruments, but I think we're itching to get back in the room and jam.
And you ain't out to recreate Puny Human, that kind of left with your buddy, right? So you'll make a new proj?
I mean, we'll start jamming and see where it goes.
You know about
we have some songs.
You know about the Meat Puppets, right?
Yeah.
Kurt's got his son on the other guitar.
Oh, that's awesome. Amazing.
Okay. Well, not totally. I mean, he's the boss, so he can.
Well, it's fun playing with your kid, you know.
Yeah, and he made it be so, right? And he didn't have to ask permission. But you guys could do the same thing, work your kids into the band. But I'm just curious what was up, because I know you got your hands filled with the film and the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kids.
And kids, yeah. And yeah.
I mean, music is, I still think, for both of us, number one priority. I mean, we're always talking about new bands and listening to cool new stuff and, you know, just
going
trying
to shows
to,
when you go
to shows. When there's no global pandemic, going to see bands and, you know, getting down.
But you ain't got a name for this project. You just know in the future you and your brother you're going to make music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's today. Great. That's really fucking happening because, yeah, especially for me, it's a lifeline. Music, it's art. It's addiction.
Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Yeah. And also, having cats make music videos that also make music, I think you can relate on a level maybe that somebody who just flirts with that might not get.
I think both things are valid. I think it just changes the output has a different flavor.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolute, absolute. Same goes with painters and writers and all that shit. We all gotta let the freak flag fly. And in a way, we make a giant chorus.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has something to say. They just got to figure out the best thing that helps them say it.
Right, the interesting conversation. We're always in search of that.
Yeah.
Look, Jason, Josh, big love. Much respect to have you on the show. Big honor.
Yeah, same. Yeah, thanks.
When you get this new project with the music going, come back on the show. Let's listen to it and talk about it.
Amazing.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
People, April 13, 2021, edition WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder.